The Firebirds Fan Zone podcast is brought to you by Kyle Garman Realtor. Whether you're buying or selling, whether for your forever home or that quiet desert vacation getaway, Kyle Garman and the team at Keller Williams have the experience and skill to make the process simple and convenient. Check them out today at kylegarman.kw.com. Our podcast is also brought to you by DesertDefenseLawyers.com, DUI and criminal defense throughout the Coachella Valley. The criminal justice system is scary and confusing, but relief is just a click away at DesertDefenseLawyers.com, where we've been keeping folks out of the penalty box since 2008. The Coachella Valley Firebirds are bringing the Valley closer together, and the Firebirds Fan Zone podcast is your weekly dose of everything Firebirds. If you have suggestions for guests or questions you'd like answered or anything you want to add, be sure to leave them in the comments. If you like what you hear, please remember to hit that like button for this episode and be sure to subscribe. So if you're ready, here we go. Let's get into it. 3, 2, 1.
Firebirds goal!
Scoring his 13th goal of the playoff.
The captain, number 17, Max McCormick.
Assisted by number 19, Cameron Hughes.
Welcome to the Firebirds Fan Zone with your hosts, David and Kyle.
Hey, here we go. We're back, dude. This is just how every show starts. It just starts out of thin air like that. This is number 14, I think, because now we're counting
something
again.
Something like that.
You're past the baker's dozen.
We are. And we're getting into the sweet spot now.
Yeah. Beautiful.
We are here. First of all, we're at BuzzBox with Rod Vandenbos.
Vandenbos.
And we have got so much cool stuff to talk about. But first, we start every episode the same way. My man's got to do his thing.
Absolutely. Guys, thanks again so much for supporting everything that we've been doing. Seeing you guys out the arena, we're really excited. Our last episode was amazing. Every episode has been amazing. Mm-hmm. We're starting to get to our goal of 300.
300.
Yep.
Which is a really realistic goal,
Yeah, and we're trending the right direction. Yeah. So, again, thank you guys so much for the support and all the great feedback. So we appreciate you guys so much, really. Everything's been amazing. So thank you.
All right, here we go. Awesome. Now, before we sat down to talk this morning, we took a whole tour of this insane facility.
Awesome.
So we have now like 5 hours worth of stuff to talk about.
I know.
But first, first, we want to get to know, we want everyone to know who you are what your story is even before this amazing empire.
Well, unfortunately, too many people probably already know that, but I appreciate that. And and welcome, guys. Welcome
thank
to BuzzBox.
Yeah, thanks
Glad
for
to
having
have
us.
You here.
Yeah, it's neat. We've been doing our second location.
That's cool. Well, I'm honored.
This has been great.
Well, anytime. You know, happy hour is a good time around here, by the way.
Every hour is happy hour,
so you know. But yeah, absolutely. Well, we like to call this Disneyland for alcoholics. You know what I mean? But we don't say that because that's politically incorrect. But no, it's a really fun place to be. And we love being here in India.
Good.
So where are you
from originally?
Yeah, what's your story?
What's my backstory? I mean, I'll try and condense it as much as I possibly
we
can.
We got time, but go ahead.
Like everyone here in the desert, I'm a transplant. Came down via the San Francisco Bay Area, was living up in Danville, moved down here, and actually spent most of my life in the entertainment industry. So I worked at Universal Studios, worked at Disney, film, television, and live production.
Doing
that was my background.
Kind of stuff?
Oh, everything from films to television shows to live events, concerts,
so
et cetera.
This is nothing for you. This
is not usually where I sit. So it's kind of a different
thing. Oh, that's good, right?
Good deal.
But no, it's fun and had a really fun time. Was actually brought to the desert through some folks at Eisenhower Medical Center that built the Annenberg Center.
Okay.
And if you've seen it or whatever, but the Annenberg Center was a full medical operating theater here in town, and they were building a television studio. And through some mutual acquaintances, I got connected to them and was able to come out and do some work with them, which was really exciting.
Like to film surgeries and stuff?
Yeah, well, I was involved in helping them design and build some of the stuff that was there. And then ultimately bringing in technology and internet and streaming services and all the things that we were already doing. To come and help here. And of course, it didn't hurt that this is where my parents vacationed and ultimately retired.
There we go.
I think which brings most everybody here.
Yep.
And I just decided, heck, I'm going to move here before I retire so I can enjoy it a little bit. But
how long ago was that when you were doing that?
Well, that was in the 90s. I hate to say I'm that old.
Wow.
But that was in the 90s and the 2000s. And we're getting there, aren't we? So been here for a long time. And then I'll give a little plug to my sister. She was an anchor here at a couple of the local stations and now teaches journalism at College of the Desert.
No kidding.
Yeah. Right. So it's kind of fun that we're kind of connected and be here.
Did she work with Gino?
She did. In fact, I knew Gino way back when. It was kind of fun. In fact, a lot of the folks who were there, when I would come, in fact, I would travel in and work here, and then I would travel back, and of course, always wanted to visit with my sister, and that was their crew. That's who they all hung out with, and
that was probably fun.
Yeah,
it had to have been, especially back
then. Gino still looks as young as he always did.
He's been a guest on our show.
So, yeah. Good.
And he told us his backstory and how long he's been in the desert and all the fun stuff and his adventures.
It's been great. So I got to live a little vicariously through those guys and coming to visit, and then called it home, and have loved it and have been involved in that industry, and then got into this crazy business back about 11 years ago now, which was really kind of an outgrowth of what I was doing and very excited.
How
about
does
it,
one transition? I know, you and I.
Yeah,
we do that. How do we transition from, I mean, it's like, how does a lawyer and a real estate agent end up doing a podcast?
Yeah, I was going to say, geez.
So how does an entertainer or somebody in the entertainment industry go from that world to, hey, let's create a fun adult beverage for everybody?
Right. Well, look, this is a story that I love to tell. So, I mean, I'll try and keep it really short.
We'll try and keep it short,
right? How many? We have what, 30 minutes?
No. We got time. We got all the time in the world.
No, we don't want to bore anybody, but...
We don't mind.
No, it's really a fun story. When we were... And when the teams and I were working, we did a lot of live events, did a lot of concerts. We did a lot of some of the very, very first live streaming events we produced and directed and were involved with. And loved the industry, loved what was going on. And, I mean, to really make it simple, one of the things that I noticed whenever time I'd go to a concert or we'd go to a festival or we'd be filming a live event or a sporting event or something like that, the number one complaint or the number one comment we used to get was, you see how long the lines are at the bars?
Yes.
I mean, they're crazy. And of course, you know, none of our events were like this, but a lot of events we did around the country and literally around the world, you know, you always got not the best drink, right?
Pretty subpar.
It was subpar. It was made with whatever mixers and whatever, you know, inexpensive alcohol happened to be available or whatever. And again, when you're making products for tens of thousands of people, right? I mean, it's pretty tough to pour top shelf stuff. So
yes.
I get it. What really started as kind of a conversation amongst my colleagues was, God, there's better way to do this, right? I mean, beyond sneaking it in, which we don't recommend you do, there had to have been a way that we could get a better product that was there. And so we kind of started, you know, candidly, I kind of hate to admit this, I started calling companies, alcohol companies, and said, do you make a ready-to-drink product? And way back when, of course, we're old enough to remember this, there was really only like one or two of them.
Remember Hublin, those guys?
And there was like, remember the can? Yeah, there was like the club can?
Yep.
And then, of course, we go way back to, you know, the old Bartles and James days, right?
I was just going
to
say, that was the first.
And Zima, right? Zima with the Midori in it, a little cranberry.
You're really going back.
Oh, they're really bad.
Heck yeah.
But, you know, other than that, and again, those were all wine-based products, so no one really had it. And the cans were cool, but, you know, they were small and they were limited in their flavors. And then,
they tasted pretty awful.
And they did.
Except for a high school student with a fake ID.
It seems like when we were under 18, we really didn't care what it tasted like.
For sure.
It was just cool.
Yep, for sure.
And then, of course, you know, the Friday mudslide, you know, that was the Friday's mudslide in the jug. Those were about the only things really available. And it was really fun. I was... kind of, you know, this was a back burner project, one of those hobbies. I thought, you know, this would be kind of a fun thing to do someday. And how do you do that? And so I started paying attention to packaging and I started looking at stuff and I was canning and I didn't really know anything about that. And unfortunately knew a lot about the industry because when you grew up in the entertainment world, you seem to know a lot about alcohol.
It's part of the
game. Interesting that.
Golf is the same way.
I know more professional beer tasters who happen to be golfers than... But
doesn't shock me at all.
Yeah, so it was really just a matter of saying, you know, here's an opportunity that we saw, and this is kind of a fun part of the story. We used to vacation every year over in Hawaii, and I have two daughters, and they're great, and they were really young, and it was it was the exact moment was it was a party on the beach kind of thing, and we all would take turns. Somebody bring the burgers, and somebody bring the hot dogs, and somebody bring the drinks, and it just happened to be my day to get volunteered to bring the drinks. And I had two young girls, and they're running around, and they're trying to get organized, and I had to get the cooler. And, you know, at that time, there wasn't a Costco, so it was like, go to whatever store you could buy. And, you know, you always want to do something fun. I'll make a Mai Tai, or I'll make something else, right? And, you know, all these ingredients and all this stuff.
So
and
you're doing it at stuff. Home, and then we're bringing it out to
well,
the
beach. Well, no, I'd bring all the bottles out to the beach, right? I mean, that was the only way to do
full
it.
Full set bar.
Dang. And okay. Yeah, and I had never considered myself a wannabe bartender, but I realized and respected the trade at that point. And, you know, was literally sitting there, and this is absolutely a true story. My daughter was kind of running by, and I think she was 5 at the time, and I was like, hey, honey, you know, what? Settle down, get your stuff together. By the way, what do you guys want, you know, for the barbecue? And she literally grabbed a package of, remember the Ocean Spray cranberry cocktail juice
sure
boxes,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
And she grabbed these and handed them to me. It was like, hey, Daddy, I'll have these. And I grabbed them, and before I threw them in the cooler, I looked, and it said cranberry juice cocktail. And I kind of
went. Wasn't. I tried.
And it wasn't. It wasn't. Yeah. We tried. There is no vodka in that, by the
none.
Way.
None.
And I looked at it, and I thought, wow, how cool would that be? Couldn't we be cool to have a juice box for grown-ups?
Wait, so that was the moment.
That was the light bulb moment for me.
You're in Hawaii, you're hanging out with your family,
yep.
and your daughter is the inspiration.
Yes.
She says, Dad, this is what I want, and you just happen to read the label.
Absolutely.
What beach? Because there should be a plaque.
That is awesome.
On that beach.
I love that story.
I would. Yeah, no, you being an attorney, don't help my daughter file like patents.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah.
You know, I'll be paying royalties the rest of my life. But that was really kind of that moment, and I came home after that, and it was really interesting that just through a I don't want to say a freak accident. I don't mean it that way, but it was a real coincidence. I ended up doing a project with Tetra Pak, and Tetra Pak is the largest manufacturer of paper cartons in the world. What you see is BuzzBox today. That paper is manufactured by Tetra Pak.
So yeah, that's really
it
impressive,
worked out.
By the way. That's so impressive.
Yeah, it worked out. And, you know, I went and said, hey, can we put a cocktail in a box? And they said, absolutely not.
No.
And
why?
For a couple of reasons, these boxes were made for milk and juice and things like that.
Yeah.
And if you imagine there's a, this always sounds weird, but there's, you know, there's a food grade glue on some of these packages, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, so
and
yeah.
ethanol would melt it.
That's right.
So just like you would
That's
use
right.
a lacquer thinners to clean
yep.
paint
okay.
off or
yep.
clean glue off. So, you know, you'd basically be in a situation where you put the box together and it would come apart.
Yeah.
I mean,
makes
and
sense.
So it was interesting. I bopped around. I looked at other alternatives, and there wasn't anything. And I just was stuck on this fact that, you know, at events, right, cans are not that good at this particular time. And in some places it's changed. Here in our arena, we have some different rules. But, you know, if you're out on a polo ground or you're out on a park, mm-hmm. they don't want you to have an aluminum can out there. Aluminum cans can get torn and broke and become sharp.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want glass. Obviously, there's a whole bunch of reasons we don't want plastic.
Sure.
Yep. Right? So I was really stuck on this paper idea. I thought, man, if I could get this juice box concept, I thought would be mm-hmm. really cool. And took about, I think it was about 2.5 years before we actually got a prototype.
That's amazing.
Worked with Tetra Pak and their engineering team. They were absolutely fantastic.
So you were tenacious.
Yeah,
I was not going to let go. I was not going to let go.
You knew you were onto something.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's at the time you don't consider yourself an innovator. Do you know what I mean? I was just like,
yeah,
like, you know what I'm saying, right?
Humility.
I was so frustrated. I was like, there's got to be a way to do this. There's just got to be a way to do this.
Right.
And I refused to take no for an answer. And, you know, my job in all the industry I've always worked in, we were always kind of the fixers, the MacGyvers. That was our job. As you guys know in production, right? You always,
yes.
You got glare on windows,
oh,
you got lights.
Yeah.
We were
here an hour
problems.
Ahead of time before
yeah.
you even showed up.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah.
These things are perfect for keeping the glare of the lights
exactly.
off. Exactly. Worked out just fine.
We have some trees too,
yeah.
but, I didn't want to give up on that. And,
wow.
and it took us about 2.5 to 3 years, and we got Tetra Pak to work with us and help us. You know, they used paper that they had for some other things, and we were able to get it passed, and then we had to get it certified, and then mm-hmm. we had, you know, the alcohol organizations, the TTB, the ABC, they didn't recognize the packaging. So we had a really a long road. I mean, it was, I look back on it now and, you know, it was all fun and games now, but it was tough. It was a lot of work.
Was there ever a point during that process? I mean, you're talking a 3-year stint
mm-hmm.
of, I have a dream, I have an mm-hmm. idea. I'm not going to let it go, but did you, was there discouragement? Was there a moment where you thought, you know what, I might just, maybe this isn't worth it? Because I know that, you right. know, the innovators of the world, the ones who actually mm-hmm. are, you know, living out their dreams, there's a lot of adversity that shows up. Oh, and over a 3-year stint, did you run into that? Where you're
yeah,
like, I don't know if this
you know,
is worth
I'd
it.
Like, to, I'd like to say no, but absolutely. I mean, the life of, you know, and I don't know if you ever really call yourself an entrepreneur. Do you know? I mean, I think that's a statement that
it's what other people call
yeah.
you.
Yeah, I think you either earn it or you have to be accused of it. You know, but yeah, listen, I would be lying if I didn't say there were times I woke up like literally every day, you know, just going, oh, this is not
what
worth it.
Do?
Keep your
doing?
Day job, you know, and especially when it started costing money, you know, yeah. and you start realizing it. And I think one of the biggest things, and I say this, I get a chance to speak to groups of young entrepreneurs every once in a while. And I always tell them, I go, look, just when you're ready to quit is when your biggest potential breakthrough can happen.
I hear that all the time.
And don't quit, right? And, you know, gosh, I felt this way yesterday. I mean, you literally,
it never
it's something,
ends.
It really never ends. It's something that you have to commit to and you have to go. There's always, as you guys know, there's always a challenge. Whether, you know, our hockey players, it's, you know, you lose a game, that doesn't mean you quit playing, you That's, know?
Yeah, for sure.
That's a great point.
You know, I mean, seeing as we're talking Firebirds, I mean,
yeah,
and we will,
and we will, yeah. We'll get that,
that's the point. You have to keep going, and you know, again, there's moments when, you know, I always tell people it's tough when you run a business like this. I mean, there's days when you're like, okay, which Visa card do I put payroll on? You know, and that kind of stuff,
and
what's really interesting, and I have to say, we live in a great valley, and I have been very fortunate to have some great friends here that have been super supportive. I mean, mm-hmm. that have come alongside and have said, hey, what do you need? How can we help? I mean, they've brought pizza in at midnight when we're still working,
wow.
and they've just been really super supportive. But, you know, it's interesting because, you know, those first years, you know, I think people a lot of times go, well, this may not make it, you know, so we'll be nice to Rod and, hey, way to go, you know, but, you know, who knows where this is going to go, right? But you just got to slug through. You just, if you believe it, and this is one of those things where, honestly, if you'd asked me 15 years ago, do you see yourself in a situation? I said, not a chance. I mean, I don't, you know, it's not my industry.
Not to this degree.
Not to this degree. And here we are. You know, at the point where it's kind of no return now. I mean, we're kind of committed.
Well, you're
definitely.
In.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely
yeah.
In.
Yeah, you're in the Audubon
so,
lane right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, and
you
it's,
went from right lane to middle lane to where
it. You know, and it was a heck of a ride, you know, along the way, met some incredible people, learned some incredibly valuable lessons. I mean, I think one of the things I was listening to a couple of TED talks mm-hmm. recently about entrepreneurs that had made their way through. And, you know, you don't really think of yourself being in that same way, but it was so interesting to hear these people that have been successful mm-hmm. and to go, man, I know what that felt like.
Yeah,
I did that. Oh, you did that too. You know, so it's encouraging to hear that from other people, but
it just doesn't feel like it when you're doing it.
No,
though. You feel so
no.
alone in that moment, right?
Exactly. You just feel like, oh gosh,
you feel like you know? A big failure a little bit. You're like, this should be easier.
You know, you really do. And I think that the toughest transition for me and get a little inside scoop was, you know, I came out of an environment where I was known. I had history. I had a job. I had credentials. I had
people knew you.
I had business cards,
yeah,
you
right,
know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you walk out of something where you have some respect and you know, you talk about, you know, the 10,000 hours concept. You
yes.
know, you got to put in your 10,000 yep. hours, Ooh. Right? I had done that. And I don't want to say it was easy, but I'd kind of earned my way, you know, and you had a little bit of, self-security in that. You felt good about it. And to literally jump out and be outside your support mm-hmm. system, be outside of a bigger company, be mm-hmm. outside of all these things where you recognize that, if I take a sick day, I don't get paid. You know, if I want to take a vacation, I don't have vacation pay. Mm. You know, it's
yeah.
like, and if I'm not there, it doesn't happen. So, you know, and again, early days. Now we have a team that's absolutely spectacular.
Yeah.
But
well, you've earned the right to get
but
to
those,
that point.
Yeah, but those are things. So, you know, but fast forward, you look, all those things are, in fact, we joke, I've some of my team that's here, and I really feel, honestly, I feel proud to be on the team. They're people I say, well, it's great, and I'll get introduced as you're the founder. And I feel like, you know, that might have been a role or a title I have, but there's so many people who have been a part of this mm-hmm. along the way. And, you know, some of our team literally were here from almost day one with me.
I was just going to ask how many people.
Yeah. So they took the same chance you did.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
They must
have
believed in what you were
they
doing.
They were crazy. I would tell you,
crazy. Well, you got to be a little different to do stuff like this. You can't, obviously to step out and do what you were doing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not
I think
normal.
I think for us, in as much as, you know, we can share or take whatever credit for sticking to it, I think it all comes down to we still believed we had a great idea and we had a passion for that and we wanted to do that. And so no matter what, it was so funny. I met with people in the industry, I met with distributors, I met with, senior executive teams in alcohol companies were like, Rod, don't waste your time. It's not going to happen. This won't work. You can't do this.
Why were they traditionally, mm-hmm. It just wasn't a thing.
Well, you know what's interesting? And again, coming back to listening to other people, I was watching something the other day when I won't name this particular singer entertainer, but they was interesting. They were talking.
Was it Kelly Clarkson?
But actually, I've actually heard this from Kelly. It's like she would go to auditions and people would be like, you could be a bank teller. Don't waste your time.
No one ever has full support for everything they do, they get married. Yeah. They got a wife like mine, and then they get support for everything.
Absolutely.
But, yeah.
But, I think that those are the encouraging things. And that's what's really encouraging, that you've got to listen to the people around you that have made it and have said, hey, keep going. And I'm like, hey, we're still going. We haven't made it yet. We're still on the way. But that's kind of how we saw an opportunity. We had an idea, and it was interesting. It was kind of like a wildfire, because I remember when I first had this concept, I came back and of course we hit a bunch of roadblocks and you couldn't get it done and it wasn't possible. And I was with a very, very good friend of mine and we happened to be sitting in a restaurant and I was like, hey, I got to outline this idea that I'm thinking of. And I pulled out a napkin and a pen and outlined it. And I was talking through it, and I didn't realize it at the time. And he's told me this many, he says, I sat and listened to you. And he said, I had no idea what you were talking about. I have no interest in this industry. I don't know any connection. He said, but you lined this whole thing out of what you thought it would be. And you looked at me and you said, what do you think? And this is the truth. He looked at me and he said, what are you waiting for? And I guess what he recognized in me is he saw that I believed in it myself. And what he said was, he said, listen, it didn't really matter what you were going to do. If you didn't believe in it, right?
That's right.
Don't waste your time.
That's absolutely right.
And so that was really kind of the kickstart that I got to just go do it. And man, it's been the way. I mean, I still believe in it. I still come to work every day. I still do everything every day. And I still am kind of blown away by, wow. And I really mean this. It is, I walk through the door here, as you guys walk through the door today, and we got a nice, great big facility and stuff.
Beautiful.
And I walk on this, and I still walk in, guys, and I still get tingles and go, I can't believe we're here. Like, how did this happen? That's the coolness. You have to have passion for it. You have to have belief in it, but you still have to have that wonder every day, right? That's what keeps the vision.
Well,
alive.
Just the way you're telling the story now, clearly the passion has not eroded in any way.
I hope not. I hope not. We still have and listen, we feel like we're just getting started. And, going through building our company. And then as we all talked about, you hit, all this crazy stuff that happened in our world where all the live shows stopped.
Yeah.
And here we are, that we built a product that, it's funny, right? Literally 2019, as we were coming together and as I was working with our group to put together, some investment and some financing and all the things we had to do to build our facility and make all this stuff happen. And we were so excited. And we had like racing organizations that were committing to buying our product. We had sports teams and franchises. We had arenas. I mean, we were on a fast track. We had this amazing commitment.
So to touch on that a little bit and shed some light for these guys here, because like myself and Dave included, we just assumed, BuzzBox was a product that just came out of Indio. You guys just showed up out of nowhere, and it was for the Firebirds and maybe somebody had kind of heard of it online.
Remember early in the years ago, the Facebook, I would see ads for this online order cocktail thing. I'm like, and then I saw your sign drive by, I went, wait a minute.
But that's not true. Yeah. You guys actually were Tell us what you were doing.
We were out. So our first real, and I'll probably get corrected on the dates, but our first real product lines that we really went out to the market were started in about 2014, 2015.
So it was a while
ago. Yeah. And we were making, and the boxes were real similar. They were a little smaller. We had straws, you know, which was along the juice box.
Yep, the juice box idea. Yeah.
And it was fun, and we were mostly targeting live events.
Okay.
So we were going after, you know, specific concerts or specific festivals or specific arenas or, you know, racing or those types of things. And we would go and work with the promoters, we work with the venues, and say, hey, this is a great thing to put in your bar, speed up the process. I mean, again, the reason we created the product was you get a better quality, and we can talk about that, but speed of process, right? I mean, you can move product fast this way. You know, the quality is always the same. You know, mm-hmm. it's consistent, right? Yep. And we do. We spend a lot. We'll talk about it later. We talk about that. But, you know, and also for the venues, the big thing I was going to say, hey, you know your inventory. You know, when and this is nothing, not because I have some of my favorite people in this town are the bartenders, but you know, when you
Mine
work,
too.
You know, I've heard that, Dave.
Yeah, sure.
He knows them by name. He knows them by name at BuzzBox Arena, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I love
sure. He can name them all.
They are some great people over there.
Oh, yeah, so. You got some good
but,
folks.
But, you know, one of the things that I've always said was, is even to the venues, you know, you bring a whole bunch of bottles and a whole bunch of mixers and you sell the drinks. Well, at the end of the night, how many did you sell? Like, yeah. Do you really know? And you know, not to suggest that there's anything nefarious going on, but
however,
you know, you don't know. And did something get lost? Did something get spilled? Did a bottle get broken? And how do you track that? And usually they're so busy, you don't have time to deal with that, right? Where with a product like this, they're single serve. So if I brought 1,000 down to the bar and there was 100 left, we better have receipts for 900, right?
Yeah, it's good math.
So it was.
I was told there was no math on this exam.
Well, you know, well, that's why I kept it intense.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
I kept it intense. We do make alcohol. Yeah. This is not. True. You know, we're not teaching anything right here. But that was really, you know, there was a whole bunch of really great benefits that we thought of that, and we were going out after that, and then of course, we started this facility. A lot of the local friends of mine, we literally moved into this facility at the end of 2019, and it took us a year longer after to build it, but we actually put up our temporary offices in here and got in here, and we started the process of building this. And I'll never forget, because we closed on a major funding source for us February the 27th, I'll never forget this, of 2020. And on March the 12th, 2020, they announced, oh, by the way, we're shutting everything down and there's not going to be anything going on. And we just sort of went, well, there goes our business.
Collective gasp.
You know,
oh man. We're out of business.
But what you shifted, right? You're like, well, we can't do it here. Let's do it here.
Exactly. And what was really cool is the facility took about a year to build. So we had a lot of work to do. But we'd had product out there. And yeah, we just went after retail. We said, let's find other avenues for this. For all the people that are staying home and can't go out, let's get product to you at your house.
Did you have ever have any customers or events or venues or stores say, nah, this is never going to work. We don't want to sell you here.
Oh, all the time. It's really interesting. And I literally, we could go on and I won't, but there's some really fun stories. Like for instance, we're really happy this year. We got onto two new airlines. So we're on Spirit and Frontier.
Oh, really?
The two airlines you need the drinks the most.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I said.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, listen, here's your complimentary cocktail.
Listen, we want to make the skies friendly again in a completely different way, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But it was interesting because it was one of those things where, you know, people always, you know, look at the box and they go, yeah, this would be perfect here. This would be perfect there, right? And we always thought airlines, I mean, how perfect is this? I mean, absolutely. It's such an easy thing, right?
Sure.
It's paper. It's lighter. And I get this, and this is, and I can share this on this. Mm-hmm. You know, I hear people all the time talk about sustainability, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then their actions don't really follow through. They got nice marketing campaigns, but they don't really change anything, right? And I always said, I mean, this our packaging is 100% plant-based, right? Even our caps are made of sugar cane, right?
You saw that earlier. That's great. It looks like plastic, feels like plastic.
But it's not. And so we were like always pitching these guys, if you want to make a sustainability statement, mm-hmm. here's where it is. And we got shut down. No. And I think because we were a small brand. I mean, I didn't take it personally.
Really?
Hey, we were a small brand. We didn't have the distribution. I mean, there was a whole bunch of realistic reasons why. But we were always kind of disappointed, thinking, well, somebody's got to take a chance on it. And it was interesting because this time around, now they were coming to us saying, hey, your product would be great on the airlines. And you wanted to say, I've been saying this for years.
How good does that feel when that moment happens?
Oh, man, fantastic. Right? It was fantastic. I have to say that it's just been a couple months on with the new ones for Spirit and Frontier, and it was really fun. It was a couple weeks ago. I was just kind of zipping through social media, right? And someone posted that I just hashtagged BuzzBox, and they were on a flight somewhere in the Midwest, and they filmed this, you know, one of our margaritas with like a box of chips, you know,
perfect.
And then out the
perfect.
Window, and then back, and then was like, and their captions were, you know, best margarita I've had in the skies. And
oh,
I was like, wow, how cool is that, right? Because, again, that was what we wanted to do. So when you see that come back
to
you.
You went from a napkin
to, yeah, to actually yeah, there, exactly.
To somebody
exactly.
posting that, and
yep.
you're like, you're fulfilled at that point.
Yep.
You got to be like, wow, you've come full circle. You know you've done it.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was one of those moments where you sort of go, wow, that's pretty cool, you know?
Wait a minute. And
that surreal
moment. Do you like, I know I did. I don't remember doing it anymore, though.
Yeah.
Somehow I just, now I know where I am, but I don't remember getting here.
I think that's what it is, right?
You yeah. know, yeah, you know, it's true. You it's funny. And I don't know, I should make reference, but you guys remember that movie, I think it was called That Thing You Do with Tom
yes.
Hanks.
Oh,
absolutely.
Great,
yeah.
Great movie.
Yep.
Right? That was a great movie.
And do you remember when the bass player, I can't remember his name, of the actor, turned around and he looked at the... How did we get here? You know? And I'll tell you what, I ask that question a lot. You sit back and you go, wow. And especially when you're sitting at the rink watching a Firebirds game and your logo rolls across the
yep.
top. That's pretty fun, you know?
Okay, great. What a great
yeah.
segue.
Yeah, let's go.
How did that relationship, you know, pan out for you? And how did that work? I mean, it, to mm-hmm. me, I can't imagine. I mean, here we are. You've got the mm-hmm. logo.
Yeah.
It all seems to make sense. Mm-hmm. And since day one, and I remember seeing the banner, because we
yeah.
live
yeah.
in this area.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we drive by here all the time, getting on the freeway, and I saw, you know, we know the Firebirds are
yep.
coming. And, ooh, we, you know, BuzzBox. Okay, that's kind of cool.
Yep.
And they've got the logo. So it just made sense to me, but how did you guys end up with that?
I'm glad you felt that way. no, absolutely. We were, you know, it was really kind of a bringing together of I'd known some of the principals in the organization prior to in a former career life.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some local folks. And if you guys remember back when the arena was first starting about being here, was we'd be in Palm Springs.
Yep.
And,
yep.
And I've been fortunate enough to, you know, help out with a few nonprofit organizations that were in and around this thing. So I was aware of what was going on. And when they made the announcement they were going to bring it down to Palm Desert, it was
just recently.
Yeah. Well, it was actually really before that. And I had an opportunity to meet with some of the executive team. And, you know, and I'll give him a shout out, specifically Tim Lewicki. And
job,
who
Tim.
Is, yeah,
yeah.
Tim, way
Thank
to go.
Thank you very much.
Well done.
You've changed the valley.
Yeah, you did.
And I had an opportunity, and I was able to get him here with the team for a tour.
Nice.
And I have to say, and I'll say this just in case he's ever listening, but, you know, people always say nice things about successful people, right? It's
yeah.
like because we want them to
yeah.
like them. Like,
sure.
I have to tell you, Tim was one of those really true, genuine guys, because when he showed up with his team and he was genuinely interested, and he really wanted to hear our story, and which made me feel super special. You
yeah.
know, I mean, I was like, hey, this is really cool. And, you know, we had met in different environments, but this is really a first time. And, you know, Tim walked through here with just intrigue, and he wanted to know what we were doing. And it took him about 2.5 seconds to get it. You know, he saw
yeah,
this. He saw the sustainability.
When we saw, well, you took us
you
on
know,
the
yeah.
tour.
Yep.
I mean, I was impressed immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah, and I can see how excited
yeah.
you get when you start
well,
talking about
yeah.
how the process.
I felt like Charlie Bucket walking yeah. back into Willy Wonka's factory. I'm like, whoa!
You're, what a great
whoa.
Reference. Yeah,
yeah.
Right. I got to buy one of those hats.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah.
You were no, you
yeah.
are, and I could see
so,
that it's very infectious.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, thank you. I can't help it because really, you can't manufacture this. You know what I mean? You either love what you do, or you don't, right?
Sure, for sure.
And literally, Tim saw this immediately and had said, you know, we're going to be putting together, you know, sponsors in the arena. We're going to have people here, and you guys should be there, you know. And, you know, my first thought was, Absolutely. And then, ooh, how much is it going to cost? You know, yeah. I was like, I'm not, we're not a big company. We're not those guys yet, you know? And, I have to tell you, they were, just absolutely fantastic to us and really took us by the hand and said, let's show you how to do this. Let's help you do this.
We got you.
And wow. So we were, I'm very proud of the fact that we were, I think technically the first sponsor to sign on to the Firebirds.
I think so. And that's why it resonated with me. So yeah. I remember it so well because I remember just Buzzbox and Firebirds. And that's not even the 29.
No.
Sorry, 29.
But yeah, no. And guys, great friends of ours too.
Yeah,
they're awesome.
They're great. Yeah. I just didn't, you were like the first.
So we, and actually the reason we have the banner up here, we actually made one of the very first announcements for the arena right here in our loading dock. We put them, the media was here and it was fun. And I have to tell you, they just came alongside us like a big brother. And that was so encouraging and so refreshing. And we said, look, you got our full attention. And, you know, what we've come to now, again, well, how did we get here moments, you know, but we had the opportunity to build the Buzzbox bar in the arena, which we're super proud
yeah,
of,
did.
You know, it was fun and to have our product. And again, you know, Oakview and their teams, their vision was really a new vision for arenas. And having grab and go and some self serve and keep the lines and
really amazing, yeah.
And you know, and I'll tell you, and I don't think there's any secrets here, but I mean, I've heard the comments that, you know, their arenas sell more per head just because of the convenience.
Absolutely,
probably.
Know? I would.
I mean, think about it. We walk outside, right? You can literally grab something to eat, something to drink, back in your seat in minutes.
Yeah, you're not waiting in those long lines.
There's definitely not a lot of long lines anywhere.
Right.
No.
When people ask me about Acrisure,
right?
The only way I can describe it is to say, take all the best things from the new giant arenas, condense it into a family size, you know, like a family size one.
Yep.
And it's there's not a bad seat in the house.
That's true.
Everything is within. No matter where you are, what is within reach. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, the staff is friendly as can be. And let me just tell you, Buzzbox is now it's like our clubhouse. Everyone knows on game day event day, whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's where you're going to find. I know there's other bars, and I'm sure they're all great, but Buzzbox is my house, right? That's where you're going to find me.
Well, and we're a local house, too, so that's really cool. But absolutely, and we had some fun things coming, by the way, this year.
Okay,
you're
going to
see some new updates and some things coming we're really excited about. But, you know, and that really brought us back into the live event space again. You know, this last year was fabulous, and now we're branching out. We're involved. We're getting into other venues again. We're getting other, you know, concerts, festivals. We're currently really active in 16 or 17 states. We cover about 34 and growing and adding, and we're just so excited about that. But coming home, and as I shared with you guys, you know, the Valley is, I mean, we're this unique, tucked away, special little place, right?
Yeah, we really are.
And for us as a company, it's actually a small market. You know, when you think of Los Angeles or San Diego or Dallas or Miami, I mean, those are huge cities. Mm-hmm. But obviously, this is home, right? Yeah. And one of the greatest things about the Valley that I have said for years is, even though we're a smaller market, we play like a larger market because of
we're
tourism.
A giant small market.
We really are. Yeah. And there's so much influence from people coming in from other parts of the country that, you know, really gives us exposure that, you know, and I won't name any cities, don't get anybody mad, but if you were in a smaller city in another state, there's a lot of towns that are similar size to us, but they don't get the influx of people that we do.
No,
you know, they don't get the events. And when you think of the concerts we have here, the golf tournaments, the sporting tournaments, and now the arena, which is spectacular, we bring people in from all over. So for us as a company, the investment being here and you know, people say, well, man, you're a local brand. How do you make this happen? Well, we really gauge this on what we're able to affect even beyond here, right? Mm-hmm. And we have people talk. I had an opportunity to meet some people yesterday that were from the Northwest that were like, oh, my God, we love Buzzbox. And you know, we saw it at the arena. We went home. We bought it in our grocery store and our liquor store. And it was like
so they're up
so
in Washington.
Cool.
You guys
Washington and Oregon.
Awesome.
And
those are my hometowns.
Coast, so,
are they really?
Yes. Oh, good place to be. So
it is great.
It's great to be here this time of the year, though. So.
Yes, that's why it was part of the puzzle piece of the whole picture, why I decided to get
absolutely.
Out of there. But, yeah, I love the Northwest.
Yeah.
Do you have custom, like people now, you have your sales team, I'm sure it goes out trying to get placed, but I would imagine your phone is ringing now with people saying, hey, we want you in our restaurant, our store,
it's been, I'll tell you what,
whatever.
Yeah, it, that's been really fulfilling, is to see that kind of start to pick up a life of its own, right? And you know, we still work through distributors because we're alcohol. We have to work through a distributor. Mm-hmm. And we know we're working on chains. We've got some really great chain announcements coming up. We're really excited about. And organizations like, you know, Whole Foods and Ralph's and have really embraced us, and Total Wine and other stores across the country. And yeah, it's fun now to see other stores coming and saying, hey, we would love your product. And, you know, you still have to go work it. You still have to get out there. And this is interesting. And even though, and not to overdo this, but, you know, we knew we had a great product, right? We've won 40, 50 awards for our product. It's all natural. We use no preservatives. It's all fresh juices, top shelf spirits. And then on top of that, the packaging that we, you know, no one else has our packaging.
That was impressive, yeah.
And we you know, we've kind of coined we're the most eco-friendly cocktail that's out there. And we really, you know, we are. And so now we have this incredible story to tell, and we have all the reasons why we think we should be included everywhere. But, you know, somebody still has to like it. Somebody still has to believe it. And we've just been so grateful that some of these larger organizations have said, yeah, absolutely. And it's nice to see it continue, and not only just the first sale, but to see it continue and see it grow and grow and grow. And fun little story, we had a call from a beer distributor up in Boston and College Town. And they had said, hey, we heard about your product. And we were able to trace it back. Someone there was actually here at AcroSure, which was great. And
get them from all over.
Like they had seen it, then they saw it, and they got it in a grocery store, and were like, hey, we don't have your product here in Massachusetts. We said, no, we're not. We'd love to talk. Long story short, a couple months later, and I am proud to announce, and I'm sure that all the Bostonians are too, but
Boston,
they are rocking it. I mean, they have been one of our fastest growing markets in the country. It's been absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. That's, and I got to go see the original Cheers bar, so that was kind of fun.
The Bull and Finch,
so it was kind of fun.
Turned out I went there, nobody knew my name. Not one person knew my name when I walked in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So is it safe to say, like, then AcroSure, you know, I mean, you were already established up to that point. You guys already got some traction, but do you think AcroSure getting this product in front of that many people at that arena,
no question,
with the Firebirds, then now takes you to the next level.
No question. I don't mind sounding like a commercial for them, but it really has. It has been, you know, there's a lot of brands that are hard to promote in that venue. You know, I always joke, if you sell a specific product, sometimes that specific product, that may not be the best environment. But for us, it gave us the ability to showcase what our product can do. It was made for that environment. You know, the fact that you can go up and, you know, bring three or four down to your buddies, you know, and still get some food. And then at the end of the day, it's recyclable, and it's, you know, all those wonderful things. So yeah, it's been a fantastic testimony. And believe you me, we bring in buyers and we bring in folks from all over the country all the time and say, come see how it works here. And look, it doesn't hurt that we have probably the best, you know, AHL small family style venue in the country,
and the best fan base.
And that is the truth. That is the truth. Who would have thought we'd have put hockey in the desert? Right.
That's been the conversation.
Oakview Group did.
They did.
The Leiwikis did. They knew it, man.
They did.
When nobody else did, they knew it.
The conversation that we've had repeatedly with folks in the chair is, everybody was hoping that, you know, they had a blueprint, they had an idea. Everybody had a thought, much like you did with your product. It's I have an idea. We're passionate about this thing. Okay, the marketing's going to be this. Here's the logo. Here's going to be, the team, and we're going to get some local vendors in here. But they didn't really realize what they had, and nobody did, obviously. And that's the big shock. Like, I'm sure you couldn't.
It was either going to catch or it wasn't.
Yeah.
And listen, I can speak to that because I remember when they talked about it, and obviously, you know, not being from here, you recognize the power that an arena like this can have for a brand. I mean, it's fabulous, right? But yeah, we really didn't know. I mean, you know, and again, you know, I say this is that we've got, you know, we have great golf events, we have great tennis events, we got great concerts, but you know, each of them has their niche of who they are. And when you form an arena, and especially a hockey team, you've got to get the local buy-in.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're always going to have visitors here, but you can't have visitors every night.
Right.
Right. And to see really how our local environment has embraced it and gotten behind it. And I love it. I know we see each other there at the games.
Yep.
I love going down there because I feel like it's kind of like a class reunion every time there's a hockey game, right?
Heck yeah.
We get to see all of our friends. We get to see everybody, you know. It has been such a great thing. And in fact, when last season ended, which we went, wow, we had a lot of extra games. Mm. But when the season ended, it was kind of funny. I ran into a few of the, you know, folks that sat near our seats or whatever. And they were like, what have you been doing? Like what do you guys do on Wednesday nights or Friday nights or Saturday nights? Yep. And I'm like, you know, I literally sit at home and go, I wish there was a hockey game.
Right.
You know,
for sure.
We've done that. Dave and I didn't know each other until.
No.
Until December 18th.
You know what? See, you brought it up. Let's go there, man. Yeah. So, I'm going to be a sponsor, sure, and I'll have this on my name and I'll pay and whatever. But the reality of it didn't really hit until December 18th when it was opening night for our team. I'm sure you were there.
Oh, yeah.
We ask everybody the same question. Yeah. What expectations or what did you think was going to happen? And then what was the experience for you when it did?
Well, you know, I'm going to say something here, and I'm not bad talking the other teams, but I got to give a little plug for our guys. Right. Okay. I had the opportunity to go to some of our game away games prior to us opening the deal.
Oh yeah, no.
And of course we traveled out. We want to do it.
Get them.
And I have to tell you, man, some of these facilities were not great. Okay, I mean, some of them were just downright bad, right? And I have to tell you that at opening day, and of course being here, and we were involved obviously in the process and going to the building and just seeing this thing come together, and to be there opening night, right? It was unbelievable. And the comment that I made and I heard from so many people was, this is an AHL, this is NHL, right?
Yep.
This is the big leagues. We're big time here. And it was, you know, obviously we all can't say enough about the team and what they did and the entire group of guys and gals that were there that made this thing come together. But I mean, wow. And that opening night, it was something special. It was electric. Yeah. And to see that place.
That's one word everyone uses. Yeah. Electric.
And I know you guys were there, but I mean, come on, the playoffs last year.
Oh, baby.
I mean, oh my gosh. Right. It was like, and this was really interesting because, you know, we've all got schedules. We're all busy and to go, you know, sometimes 3-4 nights a week to do something pretty.
There were
some
hard days, you know, there were some hard next days for sure.
I'm like, wow. It's like, you know, And it was so interesting because there was definitely that FOMO moment, right? It was like, I can't miss a game. I don't want to miss anything. What's going to happen next? And it was such a great story for the Valley. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, to run that right up, man, to just, I mean, literally, to be a brand new team, to get to second place, and to lose to one of the longest history teams in the league.
That's a great story, that one.
Right? Yeah. I mean, that's a Cinderella story, man. Right. I mean,
oldest team.
It was fabulous. And you know, we just did the Firebirds, the Invitational Golf event, you know, and I had a chance to talk to a couple of the guys. And you know, the comment was, it's pretty tough to live up to last year, you know.
Oh, it is.
But I'll tell you what a way to set the bar.
Sure.
Set the enthusiasm. I think our guys have got it. They really do. And it's just a matter of, you know, you get that new team, you got to come together no matter what you do. You got to get to know each other. And I mean, wow, when you look at the potential of what we've got, I'm an optimist, but I don't think you have to be one to see the potential we have.
No.
I think we're going to have a good year. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to have a great year.
Oh, absolutely.
And don't despair that the road record is insane. The home record's not so great. Grant Fuhr was on and he said, "Hey guys, don't even trip. This is how it goes." Yep. These guys are going to be just fine, and I believe him.
Exactly.
He says it, I believe it.
Yeah, and we talked to Matt. So Tennyson, this was our last guest. We were at the Classic Club.
Yeah.
Having that conversation, same thing. I mean, he reflected on last season. You know, there's a bit of a tighter bond because they didn't have home ice. They were traveling a lot. They were in Seattle, living out of hotels. But this is kind of how it goes.
Right.
And this time last year, it was about the same.
Right. Against Coach Dan's, advice, what I say to the guys, they should get together, they should have some buzz boxes, spend some time together
smart.
In the evening.
So
right?
Smart.
Just that bonding experience, you know, it helps, right? It helps. And then the day up, and then the day of the game, make sure we get lots of buzz boxes in the other team's room, you know,
that's
locker room.
Great idea.
That's, you know,
and encourage them to celebrate, have some drinks.
Yeah,
I mean, that'd be great.
Plain, like, with this water on it?
Yeah.
Let them start pounding before they realize what it is.
No kidding.
Oh,
so how much of a hockey fan were you before the Firebirds? You know, were you following hockey?
Yeah, you know, it was funny. I was actually born up in the Northwest, and I was born in Vancouver. in Vancouver, British Columbia, actually.
And you can tell, by the way, it says organization.
Yeah, it's a little dictation there, right?
So I'm from Bellingham.
Are you really?
So you know where
I do. We used to water ski at Lake Whatcom.
Well, I used to go at 19. You're on Lake Whatcom.
Yeah, Lake Whatcom and Samish.
I grew up. I would dump my jet skis in there all the time.
Exactly.
But yeah, I used to go up to Vancouver because you only had to be 19.
You only had to be 19 to drink that really high alcohol content.
I just hung out. I wanted the international experience.
It was. No, it was great.
Hilarious.
But moved down here, obviously, when I was young and, been around hockey. I never played really any organized hockey. We always joke, if you were born up there, the first thing you got was a pair of skates. We played as kids. We played on the frozen fields and we played. Anyways, actually, this was interesting. I remember for my middle school and on into junior high, our physical ed periods, right, we would either go play hockey or we'd go skiing because we were that close to the mountains.
That's right.
And that was literally a legit thing. I mean, it would be like Wednesday afternoon. They moved all of our PE classes to the afternoon. And at 1 o'clock or noon, we'd get on a bus. They'd take us out to either the ski hill or to the rink. We'd play hockey or we'd ski for an hour and then bring you to high school.
So you didn't run around a sweaty track?
Right. Dude, fun fact. So I did that 1 year. Mm-hmm. It's hilarious because you just made me go backwards. Yep. I was in middle school. And I was living in Oregon at the time next to in Bend.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And so for these outings, that's how I learned how to ski. They literally for like 2 weeks, we went out. I learned how to cross country ski. I learned how to down. It was part of the school activity. It's we're going to get on a bus and this is what we're going to do. And I was a city kid at the time. I had no idea what was happening. So that's how I learned.
Well, if we had to survive somehow. But
listen,
right?
I got news for you. There's a lot of people who would say Bend, Oregon doesn't really make you a city kid.
No. I was not where I was from. I was I went from Portland. Mm-hmm. I was living in Portland.
That's city.
And then we went to La Pine.
So right.
I don't know if you're familiar.
I know where La Pine is. Yeah.
This is back in the 90s.
Yes. Yes. That's very few people knew then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the smallest little town in the world.
Been there. Taught there.
You did not.
At the fire department. Yep.
In La Pine, Oregon. Mm-hmm. Yep. Nobody ever knows where that is. That is. We just learned something today on the show.
Yeah. See?
That's crazy. Yeah. So I was there for a year. I was there a whole year. And then
not much going on there.
We would go to the sisters and go skiing.
Absolutely.
Go to the sister saloon and you ever been there?
I was 12.
It was 12.
They have a kids menu.
No. Dude, I did not. No. And then we came back down. But no, that's hilarious that you mentioned that because right.
Yeah, it was part of it. So, I mean, been around hockey all my life and loved it. And, of course, lived in L.A. for a long time, and traveled. Kings. And I was in Florida for a while. And so, but always have been around hockey. Always had my favorite fans. There was always, there was always the Bobby Orr we had to look up to, or the Wayne Gretzky, or whatever the superstar was, and loved it. And I say this about my daughters. I have two daughters that are here. One's in her first year of college. One's still finishing up high school.
Oh,
and
cool.
It was interesting because I don't think they'd ever been to a hockey game before the Firebirds. And I've gone in a couple times to see the Kings or to see the Ducks, but I don't think I really drug them out anywhere. And so the first game, and I'll never forget, they were sort of like, "Oh, Dad, hockey, how boring is that?" Uh-huh. Right? Hooked. And it was funny. Absolutely. Oh, like I barely get my season tickets now. I mean, it's like my daughter's like, I got those first, right? And they are probably, actually between you at one end and my daughter at the other end, I think you guys keep the whole thing going.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Just, it's
what
so
section,
fun.
What section are you in?
We're down in 110.
Yeah, so you're not far. Yep. You're right around the horn.
Right around the horn. Yeah, we're kind of like just kitty corners. So we flank the BuzzBox bar.
Beautiful.
So, but no, what a great thing to have here in the desert. And although I have a plug, I think they should have like a summer hockey league team.
Interesting.
Because when it's 110, wouldn't it be cool to go hang out in the ice?
Yes.
Of course we can do that at the Burger Foundation.
The Burger Center,
The Burger Center is great to do that, but it would be fun to
But you're right, to have something to watch and just sit in there, the arena.
I think we all got it bad. I think we all got bit by the bug.
I
for
did.
Sure.
Yeah, I was one of those who, and Dave played. So Dave played a lot of beer.
Air quotes played.
Well, you did, man. Right. I like throwing that at you every time because you do that. You always deflect. Yeah. But you did play, so I didn't. I never got a chance to.
Well, we can get you out there. You can skate. Let's go.
We got to try it one time.
We should go to the Burger Center, put some skates on, and
make
that part of a show.
Well, one of the things I've always said, and I've always said, and I'll throw this out there to any other sponsors are watching, I think the sponsors need to each have a team, right? Ooh. I think we all need to partner up, and that would be like a fun, maybe that's our summer league fun time, is, and I'll throw the challenge out. Hey, Milagro, Garrison, Silvercrest. Come on, guys. Let's get some teams. Right now, let's get some teams together. Ooh, and of course, Raj from El Paseo Jewelers. I want to see him on skates. I think he would be awesome.
Can I be a draft pick?
You can be there.
I got to freshen up.
Listen. We're gonna be looking for ringers. So I'll tell you.
Oh, I'm not a ringer.
I told Grant I wanted to put the pads on and get in between the pipes and see what that was like. So maybe, but I do feel like I'd be more of a forward, maybe defenseman.
We'll find out.
We'll see. Let's go
skate next week.
It's not a bad idea.
It'd be really fun.
It really would be. It's not a horrible idea.
Well, maybe we can do that, and here be fun, and let's do a podcast in the future. We'll get together all the sponsors, a little rivalry. We'll get a little betting going. See who takes each other on.
All
right.
So I love that idea. There, the challenge
could,
is the challenge.
How to get everybody
throw
mic'd
the gauntlet
up.
Out there.
We'll get it.
We'll get everybody mic'd up and just
we'll do it. We'll get Tenny to come out with us, and he can interview Tenny.
Yes.
Cox. He can interview a lot of as we're doing.
He can skate around with the mic. That's what
Well, the rest of us are like laying on the ice trying to figure ourselves out.
No joke.
You know,
we've got the concept. This is easy.
I love it. Let's do it.
We're going to make it happen.
Let's do it. I'll supply the drinks. How's that?
I love that.
A lot of people are going to need it afterwards.
You might need a few more before.
Uber might need to co-sponsor. But that's all right. So we mentioned when we started, we took a tour of your facility.
Yes.
And it was not what I didn't know what to expect, but it's the freaking Starship Enterprise.
It's beautiful.
Oh,
thank you, guys.
So can you just walk us through, because I'm going to tell you what I remember. There's technology everywhere, but what I took away was you make your own spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Your fruit that you use in all your fruit is not only fresh, but it's like less than 2 weeks old fresh.
Absolutely, yeah.
It gets these boxes don't get made and then filled. They're filled as the boxes are made. And I mean, that's a precision timing, you know, because liquid.
Yep.
And the tops are secondary because it's what used sealed.
Right. The package is sealed before the cap's
actually put on. Before the cap goes on. Yep. So you know that it's fresh for like 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's my takeaway. But
that's pretty good.
Because I got a memory.
I love that.
But how does all that happen? Like, what is that? Just one drink. Like, walk us through how one drink becomes
kind of like
drink.
Santa's workshop. Bunch of elves come in late at night.
Yeah, right. So,
no, sorry to the guys. I did not mean to call you elves.
They're pretty tall back there.
It's some big boys back there. I got to be careful what I say. Yeah. No, you know, we do. If I can walk you through the process, and I won't give anyone any secrets because there's not very many of them. But the one thing we don't do here, we don't actually distill the alcohol, which is a process of actually making the alcohol, right? But we have it distilled for us, and we bring it in a concentrate. It's probably the best way to say it. It's called distillate. Extremely high proof. I mean, it's right up there with rubbing alcohol, you know. Okay, high quality, food grade. Mm. But it's just pure alcohol. And we bring that in, and then we take that in, and then from that, we make our vodkas. We make our own gin. And we'll buy whiskey distillate. We'll make our own whiskeys. And then the same for rum. And then tequila obviously has to come from Jalisco, Mexico. Mm-hmm. So we kind of like the champagne and the sparkling wine, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to call margaritas, if you're going to use tequila, you got to say tequila. So we import that. But we are one of the few places where we bring all that in here. We actually manufacture and make all of that here. And the other thing we're really proud of, because people always say, you know, why are you in California? Why are you doing this? It's because majority of all of our fresh produce is literally within a 2-hour drive of us. We use citrus here from the valley. We use vegetables like our Bloody Marys. I'm proud. All the peppers come here locally, right?
Wow,
in fact, the Firebird's Paloma, which I love.
Yep.
Yeah.
These are local grapefruits, local peppers, right? Local limes. Truly is a local drink. And this is really a great natural place. And like I shared with you, there are times where this fruit, from the time it's picked, the time it makes it in boxes, literally is within weeks. And we use, like I said, we make the alcohols here. We blend all the juices fresh. Nothing is, no preservatives, no colors, no stabilizers, no anything like that. It is fresh juice and top shelf spirits. And we blend and package those. And there's a real... there's a real science, and I credit our team in doing this, because a lot of people think, oh, well, you make a cocktail, right? Well, you throw all these ingredients in a cocktail, you shake it up, and you put it in a package. Nah, not so much. If you've been to a good bar in town, there's a specific order you'll watch as that bartender makes that drink. There's chemical reactions that happen between ethanols and sugars and acids and all the things.
So if you don't put it in the right order,
there's components there.
Yeah.
And there's an art. There really is an art to it. And So we've really perfected that on a large scale. You know, we make 6,000 gallon batch cocktails, you know.
These vats are massive.
Yeah.
And there's, the thing that we do is, even though I hate to say mass produced, but even though we manufacture large volumes at a time, it's still really done by hand. Mm-hmm. We have a big hand. We have a team in our labs that are quality testing all the way through the process. We literally, they taste test, they run it under all the.
We looked in your lab. It's like Jurassic Park.
Oh, it is. Fun.
When they're doing the dino DNA, it's like this dude's back there.
And it was cool. Science-y. This what blew me away, because we have a machine back there. You literally can take some liquid and you put a probe in it. It'll tell you what the sugar level is, what the alcohol content is, what the viscosity. I mean, it tells you all these main things. So it's real cool. The technology is super cool, but at the end of the day, you still have to have that human component, and you still taste it, and we make sure everything goes in it. I mean, a lot of people don't realize, because they think, oh, it's a cocktail in a box, right? We go through an extensive process. All of our stuff, by the way, too, is part of the process to make, how do you differentiate yourself? How do you become premium? How do you become better? All of our products are kosher certified as well. Holy which is God. Just another step of quality performance. And, we go through a process where everything is tested and blended and checked. And then through the process of blending the product, and then before it's packaged, it's tested again. There's a lot of hands on this product to make sure that it's done right. And we take a lot of pride in it. And, things like the Paloma, things like our Long Islands and our mojitos, if you've had them. I mean, we've won national, international awards for the quality of the package on blind taste tests. People don't think they're made in a box. So, I always encourage people, if you've never had one, try one.
Yeah.
Try five or six.
Try a different one.
And then I'll give you try them all. But no, there really is, they really are made. We put a high focus on quality. When we started the company, one of the things that I said to our team was, I have to be proud to share these in my home. You have to be proud to share them.
Sure.
Yeah. These can't be something we just make and put out there. If we're going to do this, let's do it right and be the kind of thing where, even though they're not meant to replace a bar, they could. I can't tell you how many events we have. We do a lot of family fun parties at our house and friends over. And I swear, we put them out, and I usually have a full complement bar too, but people love them. They're great. Mm-hmm. Then the Firebirds Paloma, I love the fact that's become one of the most popular ones. It's fantastic. You pour it over ice, you throw a garnish on it, you're done, right? And no one's behind a bar making a drink. No one's wasting that time, right? Because as a host, that's what you always end up getting to do, right?
That's right, yeah. You're stuck in the kitchen the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that's what we're really proud of. We're really proud to make a quality product. And probably the biggest response I get out in the field, and I see it at the arena too all the time, is people go, I had no idea. Like, I thought, you whip some chemicals together and you throw them in a box and you put them out there, this is really, truly a real craft
you can tell.
Composition.
Yeah, you can see the process.
And it's fun. And I think that's probably the most joy that we get, is when we bring people in and we do tastings, or we're out there and people are like, well, I had no idea,
No idea.
And the biggest thing I like to share with people is, whenever you drink drinks like this, right, most of them have a lot of sugar in them. They have the preservatives and all those things. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that give you the headaches. Those are the things that make tomorrow bad.
That's
Yeah. And when you're starting off with an all-natural product, quality ingredients, you don't get that, and you don't get it as bad. I mean, if you can always overindulge, right, which you're supposed to be responsible, but but you can make that, exactly. But really, really is a high quality product. And I tell them, they take our hurricane and I go, man, you can taste the pomegranate, you can taste the passion fruit, you can taste the pineapple. Mm-hmm. You get a Paloma, wow, that's real grapefruit,
And not for nothing, but everybody out here has a pool.
Yes. They float. They float.
Yes, they do. You know how I know? Because I drop them. But there's no glass around the pool.
Right.
They're easy, and they just, we have a little outside little fridge. We keep them in, and
here
you go. You want one? Here you go. Here you go. Who wants one?
Exactly.
And you can't. I mean,
it's fun. Well, and you guys can see why we love what we do. Is we get to make a product that is really part of people's great times. It's their celebrations, sure, yeah, the times you spend with friends. And you know, the great thing about it is, and people always ask, and I go, well, you must be, I'm not really that big of a drinker. That's not really my thing. But the thing that's really great about the product is something you share with friends. It's about the time. It's about the enjoyment. And, you know, like I said, you go to a hockey game, Rand, we share the drinks there. It's so great.
We share the experience, right?
We share the experience.
Part of the experience.
Yeah. And everybody can get what they want, right? If you want a Cosmo or a Long Island or a Bloody Mary or whatever you want, everybody kind of get their own thing. And that's kind of the magic of it that we think. And like I said, we're not really open for tours, but if anybody wants one, give us a holler. We'll come. We'll give you a tour.
Careful what you ask for.
I know. I was blown away. I really was, to see that operation, the technology.
Well,
and I think it was the attention to detail. Mm-hmm. That to me, when we're walking through and the way you're explaining it and the processes, and
it's so clean.
Exactly. That's what it was. It's the quality of the ingredients. It's the precision that you guys are doing this with. Mm-hmm. You're not just trying to pump out a product and just get it out to the masses. Ooh, it's like you're really taking care. Right. I mean, even down to your packaging. I mean, that was impressive.
Right.
I mean, no oxygen in your
not at all.
So you can put it on a shelf, you can put it in the fridge, take it out of the fridge, put it back on the shelf. I mean, I joked with, as you were giving us the tour, I'm like, oh, so it's like a Twinkie.
Yeah.
So it'll just it's gonna last forever.
The end of the world and the fun of BuzzBox.
Yeah, BuzzBox, you know, and a Twinkie and
Planet of the Apes, and they'll pull out a BuzzBox. I like that.
Maybe. But I mean, I think that says a lot about
no pumps.
No pumps.
No.
We take a lot of care in how we move it. And again, you know, we really treat it. And if you notice this when you watch the facility, it felt a lot like a winery. There's a lot of winery concepts that we put into play here. Yeah. Again, no one ever had a facility like this. We were the first ones to really build it. So we really leveraged technology. We built it specifically. It's true that we are the only facility in the country that does what we do in Tetra Pak like this. So it really kind of fun that we can claim that and we have that here. Mm-hmm. But that was the thing too, is we want to make sure that, you know, and it's almost like when you're using fresh juices, you're kind of forced to do it right because you can't fake that. And you can have problems. You have big industrial pumps, you shear product and stuff won't taste right. And, so you're really forced to do it right. And our heart's there anyway. So that's what we want to do. But
when you showed us the rolls with the
paper
on the paper, but my brain, I can't fathom how many boxes are on one pallet of
Probably, and I think I shared this with you guys a little earlier, is, you know, people always talk about sustainability, right? And we all have these concepts and we're all going to go green. You know, the thing that I am the most proud of what we do is, if you're a beverage manufacturer, right? Mm-hmm. You have to buy your bottles, you have to buy your cans. They got to get shipped to you, right? Well, that's on a truck or that's rail. So, you know, all the carbon and all the things that are having to get there, right? Our pallets, you know, are a couple hundred thousand boxes on a pallet. You know, we save, on a single pallet, we save probably close to about 20 truckloads because of the volume.
Wow.
And so our inbound, like, you know, on one truck, we have inbound paper. And by the way, we print this. We print anything on this, which is cool. So we can do whether
you
it's teams
see the printer
or whatever.
It's cool.
But what's so fun is what we bring in these big reels and these rolls, and I think we'll get some pictures and you get a chance to show them to some of your viewers too. But, you know, that comes in. We save literally dozens of trucks for every manufacturer that comes in. And then the outbound, it's lighter and it's paper and it's recyclable. Yeah. But that's what's really fun about it, is that you have that much, you know, you condense that much into one. And it's fun. I was sure the machines, I mean, it makes 2.5 boxes a second
when we're running.
That's so it's
filled,
like, you know.
Printed, rolled, filled.
This is, you mentioned, remember the Lucy episode, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be a little different. You couldn't keep up. But yeah, it actually, and it's really nice because when you look at a bottle of water or a can, you actually have the can, you actually fill the can.
Mm-hmm.
The way our system works, the way the Tetra Pak system works, it actually folds the box around the liquid. And that's how we make sure that there's no oxygen.
How fast is it?
Like, it's really cool. It's all made at the same time.
It's like suspending time.
It's all made at the same time. And it's And again, that's where we have, you know, no oxygen capability being in there. That's where it's fresh. And, you know, the quality and the consistency is what you're able to do. So
what's on the horizon then? I mean, here we are, we're sitting in this amazing facility. Mm-hmm. You know, you get to come in every day, and I would be super proud as an entrepreneur, business owner.
Thank you.
I mean, you've got a lot to be proud of. You got great staff here, clearly. Yeah. You got great people out at the arena. You're surrounding yourself with the right team. Mm-hmm. All right, so now what's the next step for you guys? What is the next plan?
Well, we're growing. We're growing by state. Mm-hmm. I mean, retail was something we really jumped into. The kind of the pandemic kind of really forced us to rethink how we do that. And we're finding out that it's a great product for, you know, hiking, backpacking, by the pool. It's a great thing to have. Yeah. So that side of our business is growing, and we're growing literally across the country and focusing on that. One of my first love is live events, right? And so we're really growing more and more into live events. Awesome. We've got some fun announcements that are coming up that are really
cool. I love all the teases.
And some of it comes out in 24, so I can't. We're really proud. We're loving working with Oakview Group guys, and I can say that we're growing with them, which is exciting.
Awesome.
And they've given us opportunities and venues and projects that they're doing, and then we're growing in other sporting venues and other things. And I think as people start to see that the product makes sense where it's at.
Yeah.
So, you know, look, we got a big goal. I mean, I want to be in, you know, every sports arena, every festival, every concert.
Costco?
Costco would be a fantastic one. We did some testing in Costco, you know. Mm-hmm. And I love the entire concept of Costco. It's just, you know, this has been the first time and really in the history of our company where we're actually big enough to support a Costco, right? Wow. I mean, we're getting into big chains now. We've got a couple of larger chains where we're, you know, hundreds and hundreds of stores we're doing, and we're finally at a point where we could take on someone like a Costco. We actually could supply, you know, hundreds of stores, and for the first time, so we now have the capacity to do that. And look, I think the biggest goal that we have for ourselves is, you know, the ready to drink category right now is the fastest growing category in the alcohol space.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know how much you guys have heard, but it literally has taken over. Kind of the seltzer world kind of kicked us off.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. And then nothing against seltzers, but you know, when people realize, hey, I'm drinking fermented sugar cane, or this is malt, you know, or it's wine based, you know, I want something that's real.
Something for grown-ups.
You know? Yeah. Eventually you grow up, you know, although I still sneak a seltzer every once in a while, so I'm not saying that. But what's really great about the product is that you move into where you're drinking real spirits, real juices, they're real cocktails. And one other thing you've noticed with our product, you know, we don't have a blueberry muffin, you know, alcoholic drink.
Yeah.
All of our stuff is traditional.
Yeah.
Our focus and our goal was to stay in that traditional vein because there's still so many great cocktails out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted people to recognize what they were, to say, hey, man, I want a margarita and I want to know what a margarita tastes like, right? I want a Paloma, I want a Long Island, I want to be... And we've gone to incredible, incredible lengths to make sure that our recipes are true, they're original, they're authentic. In fact, I've had a couple people say, this is different from what I'm used to having. And I'm like, well, because
it's real.
That's the original recipe, you know?
Yeah.
That's really it. And, you know, that's where we want to be. And you know, we believe we have the quality. We believe the packaging. We got the story. We've got the, you know, the sustainability component. You know, we're excited about it. We see a long runway for this.
You got any new varieties you can talk about?
Yeah, we have a couple of things are coming out. We have some new flavors that are coming out. And I'm really proud. And in fact, I'll break it here on with you guys.
Breaking
but
news.
We have,
here we go.
We
Breaking
have another,
banner.
We have another Firebird exclusive coming out.
Ooh.
And everybody's loved the Paloma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're coming out with a tequila sunrise.
Hello.
Just for our Firebird. So we're
going to have to
try
it. It's just, it's business.
It's really cool.
Personal. No, it's just, we have to know.
Gonna absolutely. Have to.
It's research.
Nice.
You know,
when can my palate expect that?
Early or very early in 24. Very early. I've
very
learned
early.
Not to commit with shipping these days.
Right.
But,
no, for sure.
Fair enough.
But no, we're getting out there as quick as we can.
Great.
We have some fantastic new developments we're working on. And I say this word and like, you know, the cream based alcohol. So you've got your Kahluas, mm-hmm.
yeah.
you've
mm-hmm.
got your Baileys, right? We have a new line that we're working with right now to launch this spring that is going to be a non-dairy version of those alcoholic drinks.
So it keeps.
I like that.
So it keeps, but you know, a lot of people have issues with dairy.
I
fortunately I don't, but I've never been a big milk drinker, right? Like I've never, it's never really been.
Yeah.
But you know, so we've partnered with one of the largest oat milk manufacturing companies. Absolutely phenomenal product, and we have a couple of just like some oat bourbon products that are coming out that are really exciting. But we're gonna be bringing them into our cocktail version, so that you actually can you imagine having a Spanish coffee or a Mexican coffee or Irish coffee?
Let's go.
So those are things, and then we've got later this year we have some of the real traditional. So we're working on some releases, some very very traditional cocktails. Your old fashions, your Sazeracs, your Manhattans, and then we hope to kind of branch off and take on a few more. One of the things we're working on is some fun stuff around the cold tiki lifestyle. So you know, maybe something in the Mai Tai version, you know, as we're looking at. So
you're covering all your bases.
We have a lot of fun. And you know, hey, we wanted people, first of all, to try it and recognize us for the quality, right? And then we kind of branch out and have some fun. And some are going to be seasonal and some will be regional per se. But yeah, it's kind of fun. We still get to sit back and say, hey, what do we want to make?
I like that. Right? You get to be creative. So, you still get to come up with something new and fresh. And I think that's part of what an entrepreneur, a business owner gets into this business going, what can we do next?
Right.
That's kind of, we get into that sometimes.
I can't wait to see them on cruise lines.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. I'll tell you what, it'd be fantastic.
There you go.
Yep. It's just a convenience, you know. And like I said, we've never set out to replace a bar. That was never really our intention. But it was everywhere that you had the convenience and the quality, right? Ooh. That's where we wanted to be. And when you think by the pool, you know, if you're going on an excursion, you're going hiking, you're going wherever you're going. It's just they're fantastic to have in that way. That comes back to the whole reason for wanting to do it was, you know, I it's hard to mix something, you know, and put it all together.
I think it's great.
You know, venues have beer carts, you know, with the ice and the beer and whatever.
Absolutely.
Same thing. Why not? Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's pretty cool.
No, it's really fun. And I, you know, thanks for coming and looking at it too.
It's been great.
It's been a blast.
So stoked.
So there's, so I think that
let's do it, man.
You ready?
Let's bring it.
All right. So we typically end the show, and this is a great way, I think, to start ending the show because we've covered everything. So we do a rapid fire segment.
Oh.
Do you have your questions?
And typically I have my questions at the ready, but today we're going to go off the cuff.
Ooh. Okay. I think we remember them.
We're going to go off the cuff. So we do this with everybody to end the show. It's a great way for us to just wiffle ball questions. So.
Sure. All absolutely. Right.
They're like Rorschach. First thing that comes to mind. Don't think my
What is...
You can't edit this, right? No.
I'm not going
we're
to.
We're not going to. What is your go-to snack out at the arena?
My go-to snack? Oh, my God. The pretzels. For me,
right.
I love
awesome.
The pretzels.
Awesome.
I love
the
pretzels.
Do you get
pretzels.
The cheese?
I get the cheese.
Heck yeah.
I get double cheese.
I love that.
Don't tell my wife.
And they have that at the BuzzBox bar, right?
We do.
Yeah.
I know you do.
Exactly.
Heck yeah.
Exactly.
And you know who sells them there? You got Jose. You got Rob. You got Olivia. You got Linda. You got Brittany.
I tell you.
Yeah,
you
I love my bartenders there.
Pre-game. They're the best. Yep. We have the same routine.
Cool.
But you catch us pre-game, BuzzBox, hanging out at the stand-up tables, and then we go down for the warm-ups. And
hey, well, I'll come up next time. We'll buy some drinks for you because we'll contribute. So
when did I ever say no to that?
Exactly.
There you go.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, what's one of your go-to spots or foods out here in the Valley?
Ooh, well, I love a good steak. So I'm kind of a Morton's fan, but you know, that's kind of my guilty pleasure. If I could sneak away and do that, I love the guys over there. They do a great job. But I'm telling you what, nothing against the other steakhouse in town, the LGs and the other. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and a shout out to one of our sponsors too. And I'm not just plugging this, but you know, Spotlight 29 has added a great tavern kind of a feel place.
It's
nice and close to us.
We
sneak out there every once
in a
while.
It's a great spot. Yeah.
But, you know,
I agree.
But
hey,
we have such a great selection. It's hard, right?
For sure.
I mean, it's like literally we could list like 50 restaurants that we like to go hang out.
I know.
You know?
Well, you can throw a rock at any great restaurant.
Oh, it's the truth. It's
don't throw rocks though.
No.
No.
Don't throw rocks.
Come game day,
what
are you listening to get pumped up? Do you have something in your radio that you listen to all the time as you're heading out?
You know, I don't know. I mean, no, because usually for game day for me, well, here's the thing that pumps me up is usually I'm in the office until game time, and we usually go down a little early and make sure everything's going on. So for me, it's the excitement that kind of happens around here.
Okay.
And so really, it's not so much the music as it is game days around here because we have, well, we bought season tickets for a lot of our staff too. So we every night we're there. We've got a dozen or so,
of
our
staff.
It's game day for all of us. So game day around here, what I love, and I said, you know, people are wearing their Firebirds t-shirts, they're wearing their hoodies, they're wearing their jerseys. Yeah. So for me, when I walk in on a game day, like this Wednesday, we got a game day coming
up.
The guys will be in their shirts, we'll be talking about it. We start talking about it. And I think that's what gets us pumped up. And and we get so excited. And then we get to be there before and you feel the excitement.
The smell.
There's something about that event.
So much
right?
fun.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I've said it 100 times, is, you know, you could be having a slow day, a hard day, a long day. You'll walk through the doors of the arena.
And everything's
and it's
okay.
electric, yeah. and
so
it's
true.
Fun. And, you know,
so
you get a beverage, you get a snack. It's like,
yep.
3 hours of just being
it's
a
awesome.
Kid.
It's awesome. You just forget.
You
just forget.
You really do.
You know?
I agree. I love that. What does a treat your day self look like for Rob? Like what do you do, you know, as a treat yourself?
As a treat for myself?
Yeah.
Well, you know, for me, it's really funny. I love tinkering. I'm a car guy. I love skiing and water sports and that kind of stuff. So probably it's funny. I actually had one this weekend, which made me feel really good. I just got to just go mess around on my boat, and I'm installing a new stereo, so that was kind of fun. But
nice.
For me, it's just doing something that takes my mind off of all the other things we have to deal with, right? I my wife she makes fun of me all the time because I'll literally go out and like cut the grass, even though it doesn't need it. I'll just cut it again.
I love that. Because
that's your time.
It just
feels
good, right?
It's therapeutic. There's something.
Put a headset on.
Yes.
Yep. Grab a buzz box.
Little holder on the lawnmower.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, but it really does. For me, my day offs are, you know, we travel a lot for work. We're involved a lot of people. I won't say the best job in the world, but maybe the second best job in the world.
Pretty good job.
I get to work with some great people, and we have fun, and we're out, you know, live events. But it's always a lot of people and a lot of stuff. So treat day for me is just to kind of go tinker on something
that's
kind of fun.
Inward,
you know?
I love that. Yeah.
So,
I'm a garage guy too.
I'm not a good mechanic, but I think
It doesn't matter. Are you a DC or an MCU guy?
Ooh.
He knew right away.
Yeah.
And it's a
I think I'd have to be a DC guy.
All right.
I hate to say it.
All right.
Say
okay,
it.
So who's your favorite superhero?
Oh man. And it's funny, even though when I was younger, I was an Iron Man. I was just an Iron Man, you know, kind of fan.
But you know why?
Well, Spider-Man, okay? I mean, but I crossed boundaries.
I think we're
boundaries.
Back tied again.
But I will tell you this. I think the reason that I liked Tony Stark and I liked Iron Man is he wasn't born a superhero, right? And for me, kind of Tony Stark and Batman were also there too, right?
Yep.
Because, well, Tony Stark wasn't a regular guy. He was a rich guy. But do you know what I mean? They weren't
so
born
was Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, and so was Bruce Wayne. That's true. But so what I'm getting here is you got to be rich to be a superhero.
You do.
That helps. But you know what I'm saying? I think for me, and we were younger, the fact that you could see was kind of like a normal person.
Yes.
Someone who didn't have they weren't Superman. They didn't come from another planet, right? They were actually born here, went through some adversity, and were able to find a way to be a superhero. And I think that kind of played through and was my enthusiasm and excitement because I think it plays through in everything we do, guys. Look at the stuff that we do for the Valley, the stuff we do for ourselves, the stuff we do for our families. It's kind of cool to know that, hey, me as a normal person, I can actually do something to make a difference.
Yeah.
And that's why I like that as a character.
I'm
and
with you.
Of course, I would 100%. Love his cool stuff and he's got cool
tech
cars.
And
so,
all
yeah,
this,
I would, yeah,
I'm
exactly.
with you. That's why I like it too. And I think some people would either, they gravitate, you know, kind of Batman, Spider-Man, on the DC side, Marvel. I love Tony Stark.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Other than what you're doing right now and or maybe in the entertainment industry, what other profession would you have liked to try or done?
Oh man, you know, I grew up in a family of in the building trades, developers and builders on one side, and then we had farmers on the other side.
Oh,
you know,
cool.
I'll tell you what I think. I know a lot of successful farmers, so I say, but I love being outside. I love farming. I love tractors. I love that kind of stuff. I don't know. There's something about being out there in nature. And I will say this. I do think the coolest farming in the world would be to, like, have a vineyard and make, you know, grapes for wine.
That's
right.
It's
kind of a similar concept.
That'd
but,
be all right.
You know, I mean, hey, well, we've all been close enough. We get to go visit. I mean, how fun is that to walk around and see that, right?
Yeah.
But I think if I had a choice, it would be something like that. I would love to be outside and be part of that process.
Cool.
And, you know, I always I've always had this thing. I've said it. This will be how fun it'll be. You know, get on your tractor with your cup of coffee and your dog, and you know, head off into your vineyard.
Right in the commercial.
Yeah. Of course, you get there and you have no idea what you're supposed to do. But yeah, it looks cool, right? You'll figure it out. You get cool boots and a jacket. It's fun.
I think Colin said the same thing. I think afterwards he just wanted to be like a farmer.
Yeah,
he's a country guy. Turns out.
A lot of these guys are great country guys.
Yeah, no, they
really are.
Do you have a favorite player?
Oh man, you know, I have to say this, and sorry to all the guys, but my daughter got me stuck on Joey, man, and we miss him.
Heck yeah.
We miss him. And okay. I will say this, but my daughter's 18th birthday was this September, and I asked her what she wanted to do for her birthday, and you know what she told me? There was a Kraken game on in Seattle, and Joey was playing.
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah.
So we actually flew to Seattle.
Good for you.
To go see Joey play. And my daughter reminds everybody that when Joey plays, no one scores goals. So, you know, that's her one thing. But I loved Joey last year, and I think the thing I liked about Joey was he had such heart.
Yeah. Correct.
You know? And when you think about it, and we talk hockey just for a second, you know, he came in just one of the guys and was one of those guys who worked his way up and he just had heart and he just had commitment to it and it was fun. And, you know, and I think there's so many of our guys that are like that, you know. I mean, hey, we miss Tenney. I mean, obviously he was a great player. I had a chance to talk to him at the golf thing and was just, told him we missed him.
One of the nicest guys.
And yeah, but you know, all of our guys and you don't get to say that very often.
Correct.
I can tell you that probably without exception, almost every one of our guys is excited to be here and wants to be here. And you can see the potential in them.
Yep.
And I love it. But I think more than anything, I like when the guys get out and just give it their all, man.
Yeah, they all do. I agree.
And that's what I say to them. Look, hey, this is your opportunity to shine because it's from here to the big leagues, right?
That's right.
So I say, man, don't hold anything back, man. Leave it out there on the ice. Make it happen, you know?
They're doing it.
And they're doing it. You can see the ones that are doing it. Yeah. They really are.
All right, hit them with the big one.
Final question. Yeah. Then we're going to wrap this thing up. What's your favorite curse word?
Oh, my favorite curse word.
Yeah.
Boy, the one that I want to say, I can't say.
We're not FCC regulated.
You know what I probably, really, honestly, I say is I probably say darn more than anything. And that's just because I had a mom that would slap me if I said anything else.
Okay.
Got it.
So I think she still slaps me when I say darn. But
I whisper.
It's the variant of darn probably is.
Okay.
And really, I can tell you, where it comes from, too. It's kind of funny. Even in this industry is, you know, when you're making something and you're experimenting and you think you get it right and you miss them, you're like, damn it. You know, it's like, and it's not that you're trying to really curse anything. It's like, oh, I got to
You can say it on right? TV, so it's okay.
You know, we've said it before, but there's a place and there's a word for everything.
Absolutely.
And sometimes those words, there's nothing else that's going to fit that moment. So they have a place for everything.
I know you guys have probably seen it. There's this great little thing floating around the internet right now on Instagram. So this little kid who comes up to the door and they got a Ring doorbell camera and the kid walks up and he's like, this nice kid. And he opens the door and the patio door swings back and hits him. And he's like, effing. Yeah. And he's like, cursing out the door. Yeah. And it was really funny. He's like, he's a 4-year-old kid, right? Yeah. It was like, and just when you thought your kid was an angel, you know?
Exactly. And or not paying attention.
Exactly.
There they are.
Exactly.
Well, sometimes you gotta do that. Come on, let's get it from him. Get it from him.
Now that we're done, did you have a good time on the show?
I had a great time. It was good to meet you guys and to see you. And of course, we said hi. We've had said hi and met each other and that kind of stuff. And I'm going to give you guys a thanks. Thanks for doing what you're doing and keeping the thing alive.
Appreciate that.
Like,
thank you.
You know, this is tough for you guys too. I mean, this is a labor of love. Right,
yes, for
and
sure.
And you're doing it, and I love what you guys do. I love the energy you guys bring to the arena,
Thank you.
And you know, it feels like we're one great big family out there, and that's what I just think is absolutely spectacular.
So would you come back and do this again?
I would love to come back and do this again.
Next time,
let's do some sampling. We'll do some sampling at the same time.
We got someone in the works for that. We'll talk about that.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yep.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you
guys.
Very much.
It's a pleasure.
It's been fantastic. We do need to get a Go Birds from you, though, real quick.
Absolutely. All right. Go Birds.
Go Birds.
Go Firebirds.
That's it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Well, that was fun. If you're enjoying the Firebirds Fan Zone podcast on YouTube, be sure to drop a comment down below and hit that like button. Also, remember to subscribe and turn on notifications so you never miss out when a new episode drops. The Firebirds Fan Zone podcast is available on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, and a whole bunch of other podcast platforms. So however you get your weekly dose of the Firebirds Fan Zone podcast, we invite you to share it across all your socials, and you can follow us on Instagram at Firebirds Fan Zone Podcast, and on Facebook, just search, guess what, Firebirds Fan Zone Podcast. The Firebirds Fan Zone podcast is brought to you by Kyle Garman Realtor. Whether you're buying or selling, whether it's for your forever home or that quiet desert vacation getaway, Kyle Garman and the team at Keller Williams have the experience and skill to make that process simple and convenient. Check them out today at kylegarman.kw.com. Our podcast is also brought to you by DesertDefenseLawyers.com, DUI and criminal defense throughout the Coachella Valley. The criminal justice system is scary and confusing, but relief is just a click away at DesertDefenseLawyers.com. We've been keeping folks out of the penalty box since 2008.